Welcome to the service of the Word from Daleville Christian Church. Our God is the God of the nations, a King of kings, believers proclaim. Even as God of the nations and King of kings, our God cares for you. Out of the depths of God comes love for you, which He proved by sending His Son, our Lord and Savior Jesus, who lived among us, taking on the form of a servant, a teacher, a traveling teacher. We killed Him. He came back to us alive, resurrected, to call us to follow Him still. Today we will learn more about the Heavenly Father, His love for us, and the teachings of Jesus. We have an affirmation of our faith, this one from the Apostle Paul's letter to the churches in and around the city of Rome. In the 8th chapter, "For those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. The Spirit you receive does not make you slaves, so that you live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit you receive brought about your adoption to sonship. In the ancient world, the sons inherited the father's property. And so we are all called sons and daughters, men and women, because we are adopted as sons, that we might inherit the Father's kingdom. The Spirit you received brought about your adoption to sonship, and by Him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit Himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children." The reading of God's Word for today is from that same letter, and in that same chapter 8, verses 5 through 11. "For those who live according to the flesh have their minds set on what the flesh desires. But those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their minds set on what the Spirit desires. The mind governed by the flesh is death, but the mind governed by the Spirit is life and peace. The mind governed by the flesh is hostile to God, does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. Those who are in the realm of the flesh cannot please God." May the Lord add His blessing to this reading of His holy word. Last time I introduced the topic of loving yourself, that loving yourself is God's will. Or to put it this way, love what God loves, and that always includes you. But I also suggested that self-love is a difficult topic and that I could prove it. I can prove it by asking the question, is daily exercise, let's say running, is running self-love or self-torture? See, it isn't that easy. Doing what we want to do is not loving ourselves. I told you, I mentioned and told my children that being an adult, despite what they see, being an adult does not mean doing whatever you want. Being an adult means not doing whatever you want. So self-love is not doing whatever you want to do. I go so far as to say that doing what you think is best is not self-love. Then, Pastor, what do? You might ask. Well, do whatever our Lord wants you to do. That is self-love. Because you can't love yourself better or more than God loves you. God loves you and wants you to take care of what God gave you, and so most of us can work on our health. Today is Father's Day, and dads in America are notoriously bad at loving themselves. I mean, they're really terrible at loving themselves. When you think that most of our prisons, most of our homeless, and most of our suicides in this country are men, the majority are men. Dads are not good at taking care of themselves. Dads are not even good at going about it. If the results of going about loving themselves results in homelessness, prison, and death by suicide or other means. Loving yourself. We talked last time as to why even the Bible explains we find it difficult to love ourselves. But Christians, Jesus follower, since our Lord loves you, then you and I want to learn to love what God loves. Learn to love what God loves. This seems an important topic for Father's Day because my over 50 years of experience with American men, American guys really would rather prove something than love themselves. They want to prove something to themselves or they want to prove something to someone else. American guys want to prove something before they will think of approving themselves. Last time we talked about, or we let Jim Gaffigan talk about, American comedian, about American eating habits. American eating habits are notoriously bad, and as Jen Oliver, author and teacher, has stated, we have more information on diet, nutrition, and weight loss than any people ever before in the history of planet Earth. And where has it gotten us? Nowhere. We are worse off than we have ever been. Jen Oliver says that diets don't work, love does. Diets don't work, love does. Jen Oliver states, love the body and love the life you have, and you will have the body and life you love. Now, I'm not Jen Oliver. Jen Oliver is younger, thinner, fitter, a woman, and a mother of two children. I am none of those things. So if you want to know more about Jen Oliver's advice, you will have to read her blog or her books or hear her TED Talk, but she makes the best points with the fewest words. Diets don't work, love does. One sports star, I forget who, said to try this for eating healthier. If you can't pronounce all the ingredients on the food label, then don't eat it. Well, certainly a step in the right direction, like oatmeal, we can all read that. That's good for you. Rice, whole wheat. Now, some of you can say and read monosodium glutamate, but probably stay away from it as well, just to be on the safe side. But with regard to American men, we don't have to talk about the problems of weight. We can talk about even more basic issues of health, healthcare, and medicine. How many guys claim to know more about their own health than their doctor does? Or how many of our dads claim the same thing? How many guys cannot claim to have a doctor? How many guys claim to know more about their own health even though they've never even taken their own blood pressure, not even once? How many guys have ever done their own PSA test for their prostate? Nobody has done that. But guys claim to know more about their own health? I guess it's hard for a guy who believes that he knows more than any doctor does. And as many of you probably know, Dad makes it hard to love him when he won't love his own health and well-being. I suggested last time that you and I have already survived long enough to get to today and to hear this message. But having survived, we may now work on thriving. Those two goals, surviving and thriving, require two different sets of skills. In sports term, surviving and thriving are two different events. Having said that, I do like to remind anyone who will listen that life is not a contest. Even though 90% of our entertainment, if you watch it all, contests is what life is all about. And I don't know about you, but I've never won anything at the end of the day. I've never even received a participation ribbon for showing up today or any day. If life is a contest, I never heard the starting gun, no bells to end a round, or a whistle to end the play. I could claim to still be waiting for the seventh inning stretch, and I'm already retirement age. Now, there are many ways to get serious about self-love. Acceptance. On one level, this is essential because you can't receive any help at all unless you understand that you have a problem for which you need help. Self-love begins with acceptance. Self-love accepts you where you are, and self-love accepts you as you are right now. Why? Because our Lord accepts you where you are and loves you as you are right now. Oddly, this is difficult for most American Christians. Americans feel as if they are always improving, or they can improve, or tell themselves they're already improving themselves or their circumstances. So we start by starting to make ourselves acceptable. Even if we're not actually making ourselves better or improving ourselves, we tell ourselves, I'm working on it. I'm going to get around to it. Or I start my diet next week. Or at New Year's with the other New Year's resolutions. I start my exercise program as soon as the weather clears. I got my gym membership last month. I haven't been to the gym yet, but I'm going to go right after tax season. That's how we claim to be acceptable. The problem with that is this. It ain't the gospel of Jesus. The beautiful scandal of the gospel is this. No improvement is necessary. Not at this stage. No promised improvement is necessary for God to love you and for Jesus to die for you. What did our statement of faith say? You've repeated it dozens of times. While we were yet sinners, Jesus Messiah died for us. God loved you before you even heard of Jesus. In history, Jesus died before your great-great-grandparents were even born. God can do that. So God is not waiting to love you, and you also should not wait to love yourself. Don't wait until you are acceptable to yourself before you love yourself. We American Christians have taken some of the shock out of the story of the father with the two sons, the so-called story of the prodigal son. We want to assume that the son who left home has learned his lesson while he was eating with the pigs. Jesus didn't say that at all. Jesus didn't use the word repent in that story. When the son returns home, he didn't promise to never do it again. The son didn't ask for a break based on any promise of future behavior. Not at all. First of all, the only reason the son went home, Jesus said, was that he was starving. And the son thought, based on his pedigree as a son, he wouldn't go back to be a son. He would go home to be a slave at the old home place. The son did confess his sin, but that was as far as the son got in his planned speech. The father won't even listen to Sonny Boy's plan. The father welcomes the lad back as a son. The father welcomes Sonny Boy back as a son, not a reformed son. If the son had a plan to make himself acceptable to his dad wouldn't even allow his son to talk about it. Dad accepts his son back as his son. Dad does not accept the boy back as the more acceptable slave, who was, after all, a very bad son. Dad accepts his son back as his son. And Jesus says, God is like that. And if you sympathize with the prodigal's brother, that this is totally unfair, you have understood the father. If you think the dad's actions are unacceptable, then you understand the Heavenly Father. Love your neighbor as yourself is more important than all burnt offerings and sacrifices. More important than all burnt offerings and sacrifices. And Jesus said in response, you are not far from the kingdom of God. And why am I pressing on this? Because you and I want to love what God loves, and that always includes us. Keep thinking about it. It includes us, not an improved version of us. God's not waiting to love us when we're acceptable or when we're improved. Did the centurion, the Roman army captain, make himself acceptable to Jesus before asking Jesus to heal his slave? Did the Roman army captain get circumcised and start observing Sabbath? No. Look at the crazy man of the Gerasenes. Didn't even ask for help. He wasn't able to. The poor man couldn't get dressed and stop screaming before Jesus drove out his demons. What would you and I have said to this poor man? Hey, you've got to straighten up, buddy. Get dressed. We're going to go see Jesus today. Wear your best clothes. Stop screaming. And don't scream at Jesus. We need Jesus' help. Don't make this hard for Jesus. You know that's what we would say. And that's exactly what we say to ourselves. We say to ourselves, God helps them who helps themselves. And I told you years ago, it isn't even in the Bible. So I don't know which God those people are talking about when people say that. It's our favorite verse that isn't even in the Bible. But I'm sorry that you are appealing to someone else's God, not ours. And you know our God takes a dim view of us calling on different gods other than Him. And our God loves us anyway. Our God helps those who don't help themselves. That is our Heavenly Father, and we Americans hate that. But that's our God. Jesus said so. We're trying to learn to love what God loves. Acceptance is first. Let me put it this way. Don't bother trying to make yourself acceptable to Jesus first. Just accept yourself. You can work to make yourself acceptable later, but first you have to accept yourself. Jesus once said, "The sick will seek a doctor." Jesus didn't know any American males and some American dads who can be quite sick and never seek a doctor. If the Pharisees had confessed and admitted to their blindness, Jesus could have healed their blindness. But most of the Pharisees were not going to admit that they were blind. So they didn't need to have their blindness healed. And if we can't accept who we are, where we are, and what we are, Jesus will have a harder time healing us. We will be led by the flesh of our minds, saying to ourselves, "There's nothing wrong with me." Or, I better make myself acceptable first, before I ask. The flesh of our minds, instead of the wisdom of the Spirit, the truth of the gospel, which will simply say we need Jesus. We don't need to improve ourselves first. We need Jesus now. The Apostle Paul's words are true on more than one level. Young Christians have not completely broken with the habits and the thinking that comes from life before Jesus. And if the young Christian had been raised in the household of a racist or a violent and angry man, actually any family dysfunction at all, it'll be harder to be grasped by the truth of the gospel and the acceptance of the Holy Spirit and its leading. The adult of a dysfunctional home will grow up believing certain so-called truths that are not true at all. That person will need to ask the Lord to help them see rightly and to see the truth, to walk in it, to walk in love, not the wrong things they were taught as children. Things like boys don't cry. That was part of a story in our bulletin last week in the insert. Crying, science tells us, is the most human thing we can do because all animals make tears, but humans are the only ones that cry emotional tears. In the story told in last week's insert, the young man who resisted crying was considered brave. Is that what that is? So Jesus was a coward when Jesus cried? Jesus was a wimp? Well, if you want to call Jesus a wimp, go ahead, but I wouldn't advise that. God gave us tear ducts, and guys, dads, our Lord intends that we use them. I have read any number of women who became attached to the wrong man for the wrong reason. The women's dads never cried, and the man they met did cry. The women were attracted to the man's vulnerability. Too bad that dad didn't make sure that his daughters knew he was as vulnerable as the next guy, instead of trying to be Superman. Although Superman did have and does have a vulnerability. Kryptonite. Daughter wanted someone who would express emotions, and in the cases I read, the daughter chose poorly for the wrong reasons. Strange, isn't it? The thing that dad wanted to avoid, crying, his daughter needed most from him. And she wouldn't accept it. Then she wouldn't have accepted it in the first man she saw, who did accept his own tears. She could have chosen much more wisely. How come we didn't all know this before? Simple, lack of faith, lack of trust? Or because you do not ask, you do not receive? James 1:6, James 4:2, James 4:3. We can ask help in accepting ourselves as we are, so the Lord can help us work on anything that is unacceptable or fleshly instead of spiritual. I can ask the Lord if I can have a large Oreo blizzard. I need to be ready for the answer, no, and accept that answer. But I can ask. I can ask every day that the temperature is 90 degrees or higher. That was all this week. But I still might get a no answer. If I do eat one Oreo blizzard, knowing that the Lord said no, I can ask for forgiveness and receive forgiveness. But the Lord will not remove the proof of my forbidden Oreo blizzard from my waistline or my cholesterol count or my blood sugar level. I will bear that burden in my body, and I will feel that burden when I decide I need to lose weight. Because of my Oreo blizzard, I do not give up my diet. I accept that I slipped, and I continue to keep a healthy diet. Or to paraphrase diet guru, no Oreo blizzard tastes as good as being healthy feels. No Oreo blizzard tastes as good as being healthy feels. Now, who is the message for today? This message of self-love and self-acceptance, because God accepts us right now, right where we are, and we want to learn to love what God loves. Well, the message is for dads. But then, first of all, the message is for every believer. All of us has what is known as an inner critic who speaks to us regularly. It sometimes functions like or sounds like a conscience, but the inner critic really just criticizes fairly or unfairly. The inner critic might remind you of things you did wrong in the past, which God has already forgotten if you've received forgiveness in Jesus. In addition to that, the followers of Jesus can read the book of Revelation 12:10, speaking of Satan, whose name means accuser or prosecutor. For the accuser of our brothers and sisters, that's you and me, the accuser of our brothers and sisters accuses them before our God day and night. The believer has, in addition to an inner critic, the followers of Jesus have Satan, who's in front of God every day, day and night, reciting to God all the things we did wrong and all the things we are doing wrong. Satan is speaking the truth about us in hopes that the Lord God will punish us appropriately. Only the followers of Jesus know that the punishment we deserve has already been taken by Jesus. He was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. However, some of us can hear some of what Satan's saying to the Heavenly Father, but we must not listen to what Satan is saying about us. We don't want to take Satan's side of things and claim we are not worthy of God's love and forgiveness. So this sermon is for everyone, and especially for Jesus' followers. Now, this sermon is also for those who seem to be afflicted by an especially tender conscience, which is a hasty sensitivity to wrongdoing that stirs even in the absence of any sinful activity, even in the absence of sinful activity or intention. The centuries of church history are full of reports of men who took too seriously Jesus' suggestion to make oneself a eunuch for the kingdom of God, that it would be better to enter heaven with one less member than to be cast into hell with a whole body. Too many have been too hasty and too literal to act on Jesus' words. One might use the word over-scrupulous, as in morally fastidious, meticulous, painstaking, maybe even persnickety. Anyone ever accuse you of being persnickety? Well, this message is for those who are or have been called over-scrupulous, of a tender conscience. This message may also be for those who have a streak of perfectionism. Perfectionism is hard to take because perfectionists often expect plenty from themselves and others. Unfair to expect perfection from yourself, and it's wrong to expect perfection from others. Some people expect too much from us Christians. Your pastor may be called to be good, but your pastor's not called to be perfect. There is a difference. A pastor can continue to work to be good. A pastor will exhaust himself to burnout trying to be perfect. And perfectionists are never satisfied. A perfectionist will, if they eat an Oreo Blizzard, simply conclude they will never be able to stay on a healthy diet and give up trying. Perfectionism does not help anyone. One more thing. Some of us do have trouble loving ourselves for any number of reasons. The way we were raised, the way our early church and Bible learning went, those who have been traumatized or abused often feel worthless and certainly unlovable. Many authors say that you have to love yourself first before you can love others, and I would say maybe. I believe that you can act lovingly toward others without loving yourself. We all live in a service economy. Companies claim they will treat you like family, to which I reply, no, please, not that. We can be taught to act lovingly, or if you want to follow the golden rule, you will not do as was done to you. You will treat others as you yourself want or wanted to be treated. And you can do that without loving yourself very much. You can still treat others lovingly. Of the two books I've recommended in the sermon notes, one says you have to start by loving yourself. And the other book says on page 154, we become ready to accomplish the final step, self-acceptance. What I take from both books is self-acceptance and self-love are not as easy as it might appear at first glance, especially if you know yourself well, which often comes with the wisdom of time. For some of us, self-acceptance and self-love is work. And the authors of the book say it can take a while to accomplish it all, even while you are careful with what you say to yourself, about yourself, and how you treat yourself, making sure you treat yourself well. You have to consider how you feel about things. And of course, you have to pray and ask our Lord how the Lord wants us to treat ourselves. As we desire to love what God loves, which always includes you and me, in and through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.